Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Let's take our Bibles, and we are going to go back to our study in 2 Peter. And chapter 2, and we're going to talk today about the work of deceivers. Last week we saw the way of deceivers, and it was the way that they went that was so very treacherous, and it affected so many people. But as we come down to verse 15 this morning, we pick up our study. And what we're seeing here is more the work, because these guys have a job. They know what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose. That's what we were establishing under the way of deceivers. Now we're looking at the work of deceivers, and the work that they do is insidious indeed. If you look at verse 15, we could read it this way. These have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, if you have very little context about the Old Testament Balaam, you would find him to be a fascinating character. The people of Israel were delivered from their bondage in Egypt, and they were coming into the promised land. There was a solicitation to let them pass through. They didn't mean anybody any harm. But there was one man who was named King Balak. And he didn't like them anywhere near his people. And so he called for a prophet. And the prophet's name was Balaam. And he is the quintessential case study on false prophets. Okay? So when you're looking at false prophets, you can in your mind right away think of a name, Balaam, and you're pretty much on it. The scriptures talk about Balaam a lot. In fact, it talks about the way of Balaam here. We have the error of Balaam, the way of Balaam, and then we have the doctrine of Balaam. Okay? He had a doctrine. And so you have this false teacher who has a very powerful impact. And when he says that these are those who've gone astray and followed the way of Balaam of Beor, it's huge. Because this man, we get a case study up close. It's like you zoom in with the camera, you watch his mind working. I remember years ago, I saw one of those backstories of a movie, and they say, we zoomed in on the guy's face as he's walking through a crowd because it makes you feel like you're up in his head. Well, that's what this is like. You're like up in his head. Because Balak sends to him and says, come, I need you to curse some people for me. And the Lord told him, you shall not go. And he struggles with that. And then he goes to the people and says, I can't go. God said I can't go. And then they came back and they said, yeah, go back in and ask him again because we're going to give you a lot of money. Okay. And he's like, well, let me go back in again. And God says, okay, go. Now, this is kind of the way it is. This way of Balaam, it's little by little, it's incremental. This false teacher that we might see in the modern day, he's the same kind of character. He has thought it out. He has wrestled with some things. And he has concluded, I'm going for the money. That's why it says in the end of verse 15, it says, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, the story of Balaam goes a little further, because once he gets to Balak, he's made up his mind. And we're going to find out a little side story before he gets there. But right now, I just want you to know, when he gets there, he goes to curse them. He offers some offerings, and God gives him a prophecy of blessing three times. Finally, Balak says, I could have made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. I could have given you a house full of gold. I could have given you. And then that's where it fades to black. But what happens is there's more to the story that's not recorded, that comes to light later. And he taught him a doctrine. And the doctrine of Balaam was, you can send in your Moabitish girls, and they will go in and they will seduce all of the Israeli men. And guess what? He was right. Now ponder that for a moment. Okay? Is there power? Is there power there? Yes. Because the men fell almost without fail, and then God brought his judgment on them. When we go into the Respect for Marriage Act, why is God judging America? Why are the borders open? Why are the power stations kind of under attack? Why are all these things happening? No, it's because we invite the judgment of God. We've gotten to the place where we've heaped to ourselves teachers as a collective in America. And we've allowed ourselves to think, I'm a Christian just because I was born in America, or I'm a Christian because my parents took me to church, or I'm a Christian because I don't believe any of that other stuff, but I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, and that's good enough for me. Pass the beer. Okay, I'm good. Everything's good. I'm a good old boy. You know, all of those things. We've allowed ourselves to be solicited to something other than the biblical version of Christendom. The biblical version of Christendom. Jesus called us to seek and to save that which is lost, as He did. And we've left that behind. We've said, I don't like that variety, but boy, that one's a good one, and I like that one, and boy, they have a nice cafe over there, and all these different things. And we've sold ourselves short as a country because our consciences are no longer tender toward God. We're not listening to God. We're telling God what we want. We're telling God how it is. And that is a characteristic of a Laodicean church age. And so we see again in verse 15, these have forsaken the right way. Now, if I would say to you this work of the deceivers, it's not easy to forsake the right way. It's hard work. Think about that. It was hard work for Balaam to kick against God's promptings. It was hard work for Paul to kick against God's working in the church, in the early church, and he arrests Saul on the road to Damascus. It was not easy work. It was hard. Why? It is hard for thee to kick against the goads, he says. And what I want you to get your mind around is that that's work. These people are relentless. And what I'm talking about, false teachers. We've talked about many of them. Man, there's so many. We could talk about evolutionary things. They've got to tell themselves lies all the time. We could talk about people who are in church in Christendom that are teaching lies. Health, wealth, prosperity. We can talk about people who are teaching false doctrines of works religion, where you think you can be good enough and you'll get to go to heaven because you did good works. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. It is the gift of God. It's not of works. It's not of works. Not of works. Why? Because people would tend to boast. No, the Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear. It is not by works of righteousness which we've done. And there are different kinds of collective false teachers that are out there. And what we have to be mindful is, it's a veritable firestorm of these people. Do you remember Elijah? Do you remember Elijah? He was the man who stood toe to toe with the prophets of Baal. He's up there and he's mocking that falseness of their religion, their Baal worship. And he's mocking it. He says, maybe whichever God answers by fire, let him be God. Let him be Lord in Israel. And while he's waiting for the prophets of Baal to do their thing, he's like, maybe he's going to the restroom. He's laughing at them. He's chiding them. Listen, we're being told not to speak about evil things that are going on in our world today. Prophet Baal, he was mocking them. They were the power source. They were the rudder that was driving the ship. Listen, our ship is being driven not by people in Washington and all that, but by people who have a higher level of influence, and they influence those people. And their dogma is one that is insidious indeed. And when we are looking at our day to day, we want to know that we got to speak truth to power. We got to say, no, homosexuality is not a marriage between two men. That can't happen. That doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. It is an inconvenient thing. It will destroy a society because there will be no reproduction. And also, you don't have mothers. You don't have a father. You don't have the nurturing building blocks of right and true. People are brought up without a paradigm, and then they begin to dissipate. And that's what we're seeing in our generation today. When you can burn down cities without fear, run in and loot buildings that you just set on fire, beat people up on the street because you're in frenzies. This is the outcome of that. And so when you're looking at the defense or the Respect for Marriage Act, you also have to look at things like the riots that we've had and all those things. This all came from that. And then we have a new thing that is just so odious it blows the mind, where we're telling people that if their children want to become the opposite gender as a child, they can. And the schools will help them become what they are. And if they get wind of it, they can take them to court and take the kids away from the parents. Now listen, mutilating children is incredibly evil. I mean, it doesn't get any bare bones whiskey than that. And what I'm saying is that all comes from a false doctrine, false teachers, false teaching. And we're at the place where we're so untethered in this country, we don't even what? We don't even speak to it. And when Elijah was there and he was speaking truth to power, he blew a gasket because after everything went the way he thought it should, God answered by fire. Jezebel said, "I'll have his head on a platter by nightfall." He runs for his life and he is so exhausted, so spent, that he says to the Lord, "I alone am left." Because virtually that's how it felt. And after God had tried to walk him off the ledge of being in total despair, he said, "Elijah, go anoint Elisha." He says, "And I'll take you on home." But he said, "I want you to know, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal." Now, the reason I tell you that is because the first question I would ask if I was Elijah is, where are they? Could they not have got a messenger to come to me? Some kid, some nephew, somebody like Paul had a nephew come to him and said something. You go tell him that this is going to happen. They're trying to kill me. None of them were coming up and picking up their heads. Now, the reason that's significant is because we're in a day where you're not going to find it easy to find people who are going to tell you the truth. That are going to tell you that there are false doctrines. That if you believe you were baptized as a baby, you're going to get to go to heaven because you did a good work somewhere in your sacraments. If somebody's going to tell you that you have to be baptized to be saved, when baptism is a reflection of salvation, not the object of salvation or the conduit of salvation. You'll get baptized by water and get saved. Okay, this is a dogma that's out there. You've got all these false teachings. You say, that's not nice. We should all get along. No, truth is exclusive. You either agree with it or you don't. You can't have two answers to the same question and be right with both of them. You have only one right answer to a question of this magnitude. The Bible says, "These have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." These are wandering people. When it says they have gone astray, the word is planao. Now, this is significant, but because the Bible uses that word when it says in the last days, God's going to send this world strong delusion. The word is planao. We get the word planet from it. And the word planet came to being because sometimes like Mars and maybe even Jupiter, some of these, we can see them now and again. They look like a star when they hit the right time of year. And so what happens is when you're looking at the constellations, as the people of those days did a lot, sometimes they would see a star, it'd be there and it'd be gone. They called that a wandering star. It was planao. It was wandering. They saw it as a star because they're down here. They didn't have telescopes and all that. What they had was what they had. And it looked like a moving star. They didn't know what to make of it. Planao, we get it figured out later that planet, that works because they're not going to be stationary. The point is, these people aren't stationary. These people are wandering stars. In fact, Jude uses the concept with that in mind in his letter. But what we're seeing here is these are guys who've gone astray. These guys have gone a wandering. Now, the funny thing about wandering, I know one time we went on a hike and we were wandering around. We couldn't figure out how to get back. Wandering around in a field that had some paths and we were crossing paths back and forth. We forgot where we were and it wasn't apparent. So when you're out wandering, guess what? You can end up in any number of places, right? And we're going to find out that they wander, but they wander close to the truth somehow. Very interesting. So these are wanderers. The Bible says that they wandered off the path. They literally joined the path of Balaam. And the Bible tells us very clearly here that their motivation was the wages of unrighteousness. Now, you've heard it in Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And you'll hear it in our day. People will say, if I'm looking at these legislatures, I'm looking at politicians, I'm looking at bad people, corrupt businessmen, follow the money, is what they'll say. These people are all about money. This is why it's good to support missionaries who are singular, okay, not people who are huge. Because the hugeness, you can fall in. You can lose your way. But here he says they love the wages of unrighteousness. So they went a-wandering, if you will.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.